Welcome to the Hoopsite Podcast. My name is Alex Kennedy. This is episode number 214. We post new episodes every Monday and Thursday, so be sure to check back each week. Joining me today is NBA writer Keith Smith, who writes for Yahoo Sports and Celtics Blog, among others. Also, he previously worked at Disney for nearly 20 years, so he has a ton of excellent insight when it comes to the possibility that the NBA will resume the season at Walt Disney World. Keith, thanks for joining me. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I know things are crazy right now, so thanks for making time. We appreciate that. Let's start with some big news. According to Shams Charania of The Athletic, the NBA's target date to resume play is July 31st, and the NBA's Board of Governors discussed four different competition scenarios to restart the season. Let's go through those and talk about kind of our favorites and what we think about the different options. There's option A, go directly to the playoffs with 16 teams. Option B, have a World Cup-style group stage format with 20 teams. Option C, 22 teams play to determine seeding with a play-in tournament for the final seeds. And option D, all 30 teams resume play. We have a 72-game regular season and then a play-in tournament for the final seeds. Let's talk about these ideas. What's your favorite idea and your favorite proposal out of these?
Yeah, this is going to sound funny, but I don't love any of them. I like the idea of coming back and bringing only those teams that were in playoff contention and playing a handful of games. For a long time, I was a get all 30 teams back guy, but that was more of my, as you know, I have a big passion around the salary cap, and that was my salary cap brain was working in there. I get it why those teams wouldn't really want to play a lot of those guys and why the coaching staff and front office wouldn't want to subject them. So I'm okay with bringing all the teams back, but I don't like the play-in tournament part or bringing the playoff contention teams back, play a handful of games, just finish it out there and then move into the playoffs. So because of the options that are on the table, I guess I'd take that one with the 22 teams and then a mini play-in tournament for the final seeds. But I'm starting to lean more towards then if that's what it's going to be, just give me the 16 teams that are in the playoffs now.
That's kind of how I feel, too. I feel like if you're going to have all 30 teams, there's certainly going to be some players that maybe feel like, okay, well, why am I going to risk my health and be away from my family? You know, there's been some talk that maybe guys could bring their family and have them in the bubble, too. But there's going to be certain players, potentially, that don't want to play if there's really nothing on the line, if they're not competing for a playoff spot. I think that's something that is being discussed right now. And I do think it's interesting to have all 16 teams and go right to the playoffs and just say, this has been crazy, let's just finish the season. But then you are going to anger certain teams and fan bases and players of those teams that felt like, hey, you know, we were about to make a push for the playoffs. We were so close. So it is tough. I mean, I think there's no scenario here where everyone's going to be happy. Even if we have all 30 teams play, some guys may feel like, well, I don't really want to play if there's really nothing at stake. So it's kind of a tough decision here. But I have a question for you. You know, if we're talking about all 30 teams possibly going to Disney and resuming play, having a 72-game regular season, you know, could Disney host all 30 teams and their family members and everyone that would be in that bubble? If that is the most popular and that's what the league wants to do, do you think Disney could handle that many people? You know, as someone that worked for Disney for 20 years, I feel like you're the best person to ask. Is that realistic?
Yeah, they can handle them. That's not, you know, out of the realm of what they can do. And that was one of the things that Disney was prepared to do as part of their proposal. Was the initial thought was the entire league would come for some level of regular season play and then into the postseason. And that was, Disney is prepared to do that if that's the decision that the NBA makes. I think, you know, it's Disney has over 30,000 hotel rooms on the property here in Central Florida, and that's, you know, that's Bart makes it pretty easy. That's where the blessing of size really makes things work. So I think there is a chance, you know, if they go that way, if they go that way, Disney is ready to go. I think Disney in some respects would prefer if they didn't bring quite that many people, because that's just a few less people they have to figure out. But I think it also helped when the NBA said, you know, hey, traveling parties are going to be pretty limited here. We're not going to roll with our, you know, 50 to 80 person traveling parties that the teams come with, and the players aren't going to be allowed to, you know, we've seen it where players show up and, you know, they're 10, 15 guys deep with them. That's not going to happen. So I think Disney's fine from that respect, even if they go all 30.
I think right now I'm leaning toward the 22 team option where you determine seeding, There's the play-in tournament. I kind of agree with you. I'm not crazy about it, but of all the options, that's kind of my favorite. But there's been some talk about this World Cup style group stage format where you have the pool play. How do you feel about that scenario? I know it seemed like it wasn't as popular among executives. There was a report, I think by Kevin O'Connor, that executives were leaning toward a play-in tournament and regular season games as opposed to the World Cup style group stage. But, you know, what do you think about that scenario?
Yeah, so here's where I land ultimately with the World Cups. I love the idea. I think it's really cool. I absolutely hate it to finish this season. I don't like the idea of bring a whole bunch of teams in, maybe teams that were, you know, on the fringe of the playoff race. And what if they get hot for a couple weeks? Then now they've played themselves into the playoffs while another team goes. I don't like the idea of, you know, team paths getting harder for those top seeds and those kind of things. It's just not something that I've, you know, really have liked all along. It's left me feeling a little off. But what I do like it for is if they ever do some form of in-season tournament, which we know is kind of a passion point for Adam Silver, I think that would be really cool. I think that'd be a good way to play it out and not have it, you know, be something that extends super long and those kind of things. I think you could, you know, really do some fun stuff with that.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think, you know, there's been talk about potentially a team winning a championship this year. Is it devalued? Do people, you know, question it and put an asterisk by it? I think if you were to change it and have the World Cup style play, not only is it so different and everything so strange this year, but if you completely change things up that much, I could see people just saying, okay, well, they won the championship, but it was that weird year where, like you said, there, you know, everything that was kind of done during the regular season was thrown out and teams that weren't even in the postseason now have a chance to get hot. I think that could further devalue the championship if they were to go with that, which is why I think maybe executives are pushing against it.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's exactly my thing is I think people, no matter what we do here, I think you could bring all 30 teams back, pick up the schedule where it was and play it out. And people are still going to say, they, you know, after all those months off, it doesn't really count for whatever reasons they dream up. And I tend to believe this is the same for every team. And I think whoever comes back and comes back strong, you've gone through a lot this season. This is a, you know, a pretty big adversity to overcome and get back ready and go out there and win. But if you start doing crazy stuff with the format of what we're used to, that's when I can start to understand those people who are like, I don't know, I'm not so good with the whole idea of, you know, this being a legitimate championship. And I know that's why Adam Silver rejected any kind of single elimination tournament or anything, because he doesn't believe that crowns the best team as the champion. And I tend to agree with him. I think there's just so much luck involved with that. And I that's why I tend to lean to let's keep it as normal as possible. But I think some of these ideas that have come out are cool ideas to be explored down the line. And when everybody knows kind of, all right, this is what we're playing for, these are what the stakes are, then I think it makes it a little bit different, because you might have seen teams handle the regular season slightly differently if they had known this is what it was going to be. So we'll you know, see where it lands out. And, you know, my big thing is I'm going to enjoy the heck out of whatever it is, no matter what they come up with.
Oh, man, I am so excited. I can't wait. I talked to some players, too. I did an article on Hoopsite about how guys are kind of working out and staying in shape during this period. And for a lot of guys, this is the longest they've went without playing basketball since they were, you know, in high school or middle school, you know, aside from maybe an injury. If guys were hurt, then yeah, it's different. But to just not have an option to play basketball or play 5-on-5, because, you know, most of these guys are working out at home. Some of them have access to a gym or a court, and they're able to play and train a little bit. But, I mean, I know players are dying to get back too. They're going to be really excited to get out there and play. And I can't wait to watch it. I feel like the ratings are going to be just incredible. You saw kind of The Last Dance, what they were able to do ratings wise, the match with, you know, Tiger and Phil and Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, those ratings were incredible. You know, this isn't the ideal scenario, obviously, but I feel like the TV ratings are going to be crazy.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think people are, you know, dying to see sports where they don't know what the result is. You know, we've seen that with some of the things that have been on TV. You know, I have a friend who he's watched these last two weekends. He's watched the NASCAR race, and he's never even watched one before because he's like, I don't know, it was competition and it was fun to see. You know, so that's funny. But my family, we're super into the mini golf show that's on right now because it's just silly. silly competition that we don't know what the end result is. So I'm with you. I think people are, you know, really, you know, jonesing to see live sports again and see these guys back on the court. And I think, you know, I think too, from the casual fans, there's going to be almost a morbid curiosity of like, well, what does it look like? What shape are the guys in? What does it look like when they're playing with no fans in a gym inside Walt Disney World? What's that going to be like? And I think you're going to get a lot of people, you know, with eyes on this. And if the NBA handles it right, the other thing is I think they could win themselves some additional basketball fans who, you know, maybe they don't necessarily dislike the game, but they're not huge fans. And if they pull this off right, I think they could come out of this with a handful of new fans, which would be a pretty cool thing too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I know some friends of mine, they've been watching Korean League baseball and, you know, things that they never would have tuned in for, you know, to before. And some of them aren't even big baseball fans, but now, you know, they're getting into it because there's nothing else to watch. If some people tune in and start to root for a team or, you know, develop a favorite player, then all of a sudden you have a new fan long term. So yeah, this is a huge opportunity for the NBA, and that's why I know they want to get it right, and that's kind of another reason why changing things up too much or making things more complex may not be the best option. Because if there's casual fans tuning in and they're trying to figure out, okay, you know, what's going on, what's this World Cup style, the pool play, you know, certain fans may not be in, you know, it may not be interested in that kind of thing. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely a huge opportunity for the league. The ratings are going to be crazy. But let's talk about Disney. As I mentioned, you worked at Disney for nearly 20 years. In April, you wrote a terrific article for Yahoo Sports about why Disney was the perfect place to resume the NBA season. You know, these are two topics that you're an expert in, and they're coming together. For anyone who missed the article or who isn't sure why Disney makes sense as the host, can you kind of share why this is such a good fit?
Sure. Yeah. It all comes back to me is I think back to when the season paused in mid-March, we all thought it was going to be a couple weeks. That was just the way the mindset of the world was. Well, we'll all shut down. We'll all stay home for a couple weeks and then we'll pick up life and move on. And when it quickly became clear that wasn't going to be by, I would say it was really maybe that first or second week in April. We started to hear more about, all right, well, how could sports exist when we do come back now that we've been out for almost a month? And we started to hear things like play on cruise ships, and I've been on cruises, and that idea just seemed insane to me. I was looking at it as, you know, yeah, sure, and then a big wave comes just as somebody's going up for a layup and they miss, or you can't shoot more than a 10-footer because your ball hits the netting around the court, and
guys,
all those
are
crazy
nauseous
things. Yeah, right. Yeah, guys are, you know, thrown up over the side of the ship, and, you know, so those ones I kind of rejected out of hand. But then we started to hear a lot about single sites, and everybody went to Las Vegas initially because of Summer League, right? And that makes sense. I think Las Vegas is a phenomenal venue for Summer League. I've been there, gosh, it's going to be going close to 10 years running now that I've been going out there for that. And it is a lot of fun, and I think they do a great job and the setup is really cool. But the more I thought about it, I said, you know, but I go out there, and since I've been covering the league and covering specific teams, you got to chase them around high school gyms and private gyms for their summer league practices and everything else, because there's nothing there right there, because that's, you know, they've got the two game courts at UNLV. And then the hotels, while they're close by, they're, you know, not right on top of the campus. And, you know, they're big, you know, beautiful hotels. And then we started hearing about MGM could do it, but they're going to convert convention space into basketball courts, which seemed a little off to me and didn't really feel right. And the more I thought about it, I said, Disney can do all this. The whole property is sitting empty right now, and I know they're going to be reopening, and maybe we'll talk about that in a couple minutes, but they are, you know, they've got all the hotels you could ever need, and the hotels are beautiful. They've got the basketball facilities at the ESPN Wild World of Sports. They've got three indoor facilities there that they can set up. My assumption is two will be game courts. The third will be set up as kind of a practice facility where they could host multiple teams at a time for practices. And then the other piece, which was huge to me, is that Disney is private property. And I think that's the number one thing here, is they can really say this section of property, that's for the NBA only. If you're not involved with the NBA, you're not getting in. I jokingly said on Twitter the other day, no one's going to stumble into the Wide World of Sports saying, I was looking for Space Mountain, you know, can you help me? That's not going to happen. You know, so I think that part is so huge. Then you've got the fact that they're a major broadcast partner. ESPN, ABC broadcast more games on a national level than anybody else does. They are, you know, phenomenal relationship between the NBA and Disney, starting right at the top of both companies. Adam Silver and Bob Iger are great, you know, partners. They've, you know, talked a lot about their mutual admiration for each other. And then even Bob Iger and Chris Paul, you know, get along really, really well. Chris Paul has talked about how Bob Iger is one of his mentors. The other piece I put in the article, which this one doesn't matter quite as much now as the rest of the country is opening up, but at the time I wrote it, the governor of Florida deemed pro sports as essential services, which was really kind of eliminated paths to, or created paths, I should say, and eliminated roadblocks to getting things up and running. So as I put it all together, it was really, you know, Disney makes a lot of sense as we, you know, really think about this. And it was funny to see the reaction, because we kind of couched it with don't laugh, you know, give it a shot. And the number of people who have said, I laughed, then I read it and I was like, I probably shouldn't have laughed, which was kind of fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, I read it and I was thinking, this makes so much sense. And I think, you know, I obviously live in Lakeland, so I'm right near Orlando and know a lot of people that work at Disney and have lived near Disney for my entire life. So, you know, I knew about Wide World of Sports and the complex there. And, you know, they host AAU tournaments and college basketball tournaments. And even the Junior NBA Global Championship is at Disney, you know, the Wide World of Sports every year. And, you know, I knew that they opened up the NBA Experience last summer and that Adam Silver and Bob Iger were there. So, you know, when you think about the existing relationship and just all the things that Wide World of Sports has done, it made a lot of sense to me. You know, for people that maybe don't know about Wide World of Sports, can you kind of talk about their experience with big events and how they're prepared for something like this?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Wide World of Sports complex, let's just start with the fact that it is massive. It's over 200 acres of arenas and fields and field house and all sorts of stuff and stadiums and all that. It's been the spring training home of the Atlanta Braves for over 20 years. They just left the facility. They built their own brand, you know, sparkling new facility that they moved into there. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had their training camp there for a couple years. Yeah. The Orlando Magic hosted training camp there. There 1 year was also the host of the original NBA draft combine before I think that was there for either 2 or 3 years before it moved to Chicago permanently, or at least semi-permanently. And that is, you know, so they're used to, you know, relationship with pro sports. But yeah, you're absolutely right. The three venues that I think the NBA would be using is the first is the HP Fieldhouse. It hosts every year, as you said, it hosts a major college basketball tournament. This isn't a, you know, directional state university. This is, you know, the NCAA tournament teams, ranked teams are in there. I believe Michigan State is one of the teams that was scheduled to play there this coming November. We'll see if that happens or not. But they've had major teams in there. Gonzaga's been there, a whole bunch of teams. This gym is akin to a high-level mid-major in size, and that's what it looks like. And it's nice. It's set up and perfect set up as an arena. There's also auxiliary courts that are just off of that where you could set those up as practice areas if need be and the like. The other the arena that I think they'll use as a game court, it's aptly named The Arena. It doesn't have a sponsor. I think that could get rectified here in the next couple months before the NBA gets to town. And, you know, if not, I might throw them like $20 and have them put my name on it. But yeah, it was built actually to host cheer and dance competitions, as those have gotten so huge at the youth, high school, and college levels. But it can be configured to have as many as three courts in there or one court arena style. And I think that's what they'll do is set it up arena style to be the second game court. I know they're going to have two game courts active. It's just you kind of have to pull off what they're looking to do. And then the third facility is called the Visa Center. That one I kind of compare to an airplane hangar. It's this big, giant, wide open space, multi-purpose. I've been in there where they've had as many as 12 to 15 courts set up at a time for the Junior NBA World Championships, AAU tournaments, youth tournaments, and the like in there. And I think they'll configure that into somewhere 5-6 courts maybe, and they'll put up partitions and privacy walls and whatever they need to be. And I think that becomes a practice facility for the NBA. And then the last part of that is the sports complex is at the extreme southern end of the Disney property in Lake Buena Vista. It's all the way at the, you know, extreme south end. And the driveway down into it is about a quarter mile long. So again, no one's going to just, you know, stumble upon this and be like, oh, what's going on here? It's just not going to happen. They'll have all the Disney security and then help from the Orange and Osceola County sheriffs if they need it at the end of that roadway. No one's getting near the place unless they need to be.
For sure, yeah. And as you mentioned in your article for Yahoo, you know, most of those courts have broadcast capabilities as well. So it's pretty easy to figure that out and put these games on TV, which is obviously important. But I want to ask you this, you know, Disney checks a lot of boxes when we're talking about what needs to be in place. But knowing what you know about Disney and the NBA, are there any concerns that you have or issues that need to be worked out in order to make this happen and go smoothly?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to really come to some agreement. And it seems like there's mixed opinions within the player ranks in the NBA, at least from the players I've talked to and the ones who have spoken on it publicly, of what exactly does the bubble or campus or whatever the heck we're calling it this week look like. Jared Dudley openly said, I think we're going to be able to come and go, but if you get sick, that's on you and you can't come back. And then I think some others have said, and I think it's going to be a lot more locked down than that, so they're going to have to figure that out. What does that look like? Disney is going to reopen the theme parks. Now I know from folks within within Walt Disney World that when they made their initial proposal to the NBA, that they had that as part of it. They were not going to keep the parks closed until sometime in September when the NBA wraps up, or even early October if it was to go that far. Their plan was always to reopen the theme park. So they are going to reopen Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom on July 11th, and then Epcot and Hollywood Studios on July 15th. Now, that doesn't necessarily impact the NBA too much. As I said, sports complex pretty far away and pretty self-contained. The hotels, wherever the NBA is, I assume will be only for the NBA. At least that's what I've been told. That is the plan with that. So I think they're going to have to figure that out. They're going to have to figure out the exact hotel space that they're offering. For a long, long time, it looked like it was going to be the Coronado Springs Resort. That's Disney's primary convention hotel. It has a beautiful resort tower, which it was built up to attract high-end convention business. It's very much a Las Vegas style in that sense. Then there's several thousand other rooms on that property that are all spread out all around a big, giant, self-contained lake, a huge pool. There's smaller, quiet pools around the hotel, and it comes with over 220 square feet of convention space, which is huge. So I think all you start putting all those things together, Disney's going to take care of these guys. It's just going to be Disney's not going to be the one who says what the players can do and come and go. That's going to have to come at the direction of the NBA, but then Disney will help to do their best to enforce that.
Yeah, that makes sense. One thing that Sam Amick from The Athletic reported was that some agents have complained that there could be a huge disparity in hotel quality. You know, certain teams may have different hotels than others. You wrote about this in your Yahoo article. You suggested different hotels that could make sense. You know, do you think that will be an issue at all, teams or players or agents being frustrated about a huge disparity in the hotel quality? It seemed like such a minor thing, and I know there were a lot of fans that were blasting agents for worrying yeah. about that at a time like this, but what do you think about that issue?
Yeah, and let me start this with, even though I don't work for Disney anymore, I'll give a little bit of a pub here for them. All the hotels are pretty nice. Even the value resorts are nice. And the ones I had put in there initially are because they are literally a straight shot right down the road from the sports complex. Now, it seems like it's developed a slightly different plan, which Coronado's a straight shot, just a little bit of a different direction. But I think the part of what I think there's a lot of assuming going on here of, well, yeah, you can't put the same team at the same hotel. Well, that's not going to be how it goes. They're going to be some of them at the same hotels. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to be, LeBron James and Giannis aren't going to have, a connecting room and, hosting a sleepover or anything. They're going to be, pretty well spread out within whatever they're given. And people have had a lot of fun, and trust me, I've had fun reading them of, hotel drafts and the like. And, the Bucks have the first pick, so which resort do they pick, or do they just stay at Brooke Lopez's house on property, or what's that going to look like, and those kind of things. And those are fun, but my assumption all along has been it'll be somewhere between 1 to 3 resorts that host everybody, and Disney will do their best to make sure everyone is on very equal footing within those hotels. And the other part is, I've talked to a lot of players who their mindset, now that this has gotten a lot more real that this is going to happen, their mindset has started to change. And I had one player tell me, hey, this is a business trip. We're going to Florida to win a championship. I don't care about all the rest of it. That's what our goal is. So, bring it on. We'll figure out the rest when we go. And I think that is kind of important to keep in mind as well.
Yeah, great point. One thing that isn't being talked about much is that, you know, we may not have a vaccine by the time the 2020-21 NBA season starts, even if they push it back to December. You know, we're all talking about what it would take to finish this season, and that's obviously the top priority, but things may not be back to normal by the time next season starts. So, you know, there may still be that need for a bubble, a single site so there's no travel, games without fans, mass testing, you know, and on and on. But if things go well at Disney and they're able to finish this season, do you think we could see the same setup for the 2020-21 season, or at least a portion of it? You know, obviously that's not ideal, and hopefully that doesn't have to happen, but is there a possibility that this arrangement could continue beyond the season?
I think it could. I don't think it will. I think by that point, the hope for the NBA is things will have calmed down enough, even if there's not a vaccine, that playing in fanless arenas, or at least very reduced capacity of fans, will allow teams to be back in their own arenas by the start of next season. That seems to be the hope. But I can tell you, Disney is kind of looking at this as a potential long-term relationship with the NBA, and to get involved in, hey, what could we do? I know that they offered, if the NBA has to do a fall league instead of summer league for the incoming rookies, and then those other players that are trying to make it to the NBA, Disney's happy to host that at the sports complex. The reality Disney is facing is the sports complex, because youth sports is not, that's now the primary kind of tenant there, in addition to high school and then some college, they're not likely to see a lot of them coming onto the sports complex campus, because we don't know what that's going to look like in the fall. So yeah, they're kind of loosely planning for it to be mostly empty. So they have offered to host, you know, if there needs to be a fall league, and if they can't do it at UNLV because class is back in session and students are back on campus or whatever that might be like, Disney has offered that. I was also told from someone from Disney is this is a huge opportunity for us. We want to be in the pro sports business. And they're looking at it as, this is our chance to really show, hey, we can do this. And one of the things that was thrown to me from someone within the NBA was, you know, maybe Disney becomes the site of a one of these tournaments where, you know, these midseason tournaments Adam Silver's passionate about. And he said, because, you know, no, you wouldn't have a real hard sell to tell people in the middle of January, where 90% of the league is in the freezing cold, hey, we're going to pack up for 2 weeks and we're all going to go to Florida and play this midseason tournament. Everybody would be on board for that. So I think there's options to go. But as far as next season, everything I've been told from everybody involved is the plan is to get back into their own arenas next year. So we'll see what ultimately that looks like. But I think Disney could be involved, but I think at that point they would need some different partners depending on how long we were looking at.
Yeah, hopefully that doesn't have to happen. Hopefully we can get back to normal. I know we're all really hoping for that. It was just something I was thinking about, if there's no vaccine. But I have to ask this. Did anyone from the NBA reach out to you to either pick your brain about the idea, or, you know, thank you for proposing this idea, because it really hadn't been talked about until your article came out in April? Have you heard from the NBA or the league office or anyone, you know, in particular about those kind of things?
Yeah, we did. We got a note from, I don't want to say who it was, but someone from the league, and all it said was, thank you for a thoughtful and thorough idea or plan. I might have said plan, but that was the extent of it. that was it. No one has reached out for more, you know, questions or concerns. I have heard from folks with teams who have asked some things, you know, more is, it's kind of come and gone in waves as things have picked up, and more just, you know, hey, what's this like here? What's that like there? What are the gyms like? You know, is there set up for film rooms? All those kind of things. And then one of the questions is, it's really started to come to light, especially with Disney announcing they're open the parks. I've heard from some folks with teams and a couple of players who were, hey, is this going to mess us up? Like, are fans going to be able to, you know, say they're going to, you know, Magic Kingdom, but then, you know, show up at the sports complex and the like? And as we talked, I've been able to kind of walk them through, yeah, probably not very likely, not unless they really want to go to a lot of work to make that happen. But yeah, as far as the league is itself, it was just that one note of, you know, thank you for a thoughtful and thorough plan.
That's cool. At least you got some, you know, yeah. They gave you some credit. But yeah, I mean, it's been cool seeing everyone online and different articles and giving you the credit you deserve, just because it was a great idea. And I don't know if, you know, this plan would have happened. And, you know, it really kind of pushed the NBA in that direction. It gave them a nice nudge. And at least the suggestion was there. And you did a great job of outlining why it makes sense. So I was just curious if you had heard from them. real quick, we actually have some breaking news here. Adrian Wojnarowski just tweeted that sources tell him, Ramona Shelburne and Zach Lowe, that the NBA is largely planning to pledge support for Adam Silver's final recommendation on a plan, which teams expect to include invitations for 20 to 22 teams. So it sounds like either the 20-team plan or the 22-team plan will be what we end up having. So we'll see what that looks like. But just a few more things here. How do you feel about the proposal that would reseed the postseason 1 through 16 without factoring in conferences?
Yeah, it's funny. I've been a big fan of this in years past, and I've always kind of said, you know, it's always felt not great to me when we've looked at it as, boy, you know, there's two or three teams, and usually in the Western Conference, that, you know, would have made the playoffs if they were in the East. So I've been a big fan of, let's take the, you know, 1-16, the best records. I understand the reasons why, and they always bring up Miami and Portland. They don't want them literally crisscrossing the country on a diagonal multiple times and those kind of things. So I get it. That makes sense to me. I totally, you know, get that part of it. But I, you know, this year, again, I'm not a big fan of it for this year. I would rather see it be a little more traditional, because I look at, you know, some of these teams that they built their entire season around certain things. And if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, I would be, you know, livid at the idea of, all right, I got to go through potentially the Clippers and the Raptors, you know, and maybe even the Celtics to get into, you know, a finals matchup. And, yeah, then, you know, people fight back, well, if they're that good, they should. Well, no, they shouldn't have to. That's the point, is, you know, they've kind of, you know, done the things that they've done to get there. So I'm not a big fan this year. Again, I don't like changing things. But if you're ever going to do it, this would be the year, because there's none of those travel concerns.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's interesting they want to experiment with things. And I know Adam Silver, he's been very open to that, you know, during his time as commissioner. He's always open to new ideas and wants to try new things. But yeah, at some point, you know, if you spring it on teams, it is kind of unfair. And I can see why a lot of teams would be frustrated by that, because they didn't have any kind of notice. And, you know, they may have played things differently throughout the season had they known this would be the case. So that's an excellent point.
Sorry to interrupt you. I like to say the NBA is very good at taking lemons and making lemonade. You know, they do a really good job of that, and they're very, you know, forward. They're progressive. They're willing to try new things. They'll make things happen. Look at the All-Star game this year. They did some fun stuff, which a lot of people are like, yeah, I don't know about this. And then I think universally people are like, that is pretty cool, you know. But that's very different. That's the All-Star game. It doesn't really matter. You know, it only matters if you're picked. Whatever happens there that weekend, you know, I think people are still more fired up that Aaron Gordon didn't win the dunk contest than they are anything that happened in the game. So, you know, but I think the NBA is really good about saying, you know, hey, let's make something happen. You know, we're going to make the best of a tough situation. So it wouldn't surprise me if they try something new and try it as, let's experiment, because, you know, let's see what this looks like. You know, maybe it is something we could do down the line.
I want to wrap up by talking about your career a bit. You wrote a great article for Celtics Blog about how you made the transition from working at Disney to covering the NBA and how COVID-19 interrupted your plan. You know, I live near Orlando, as I mentioned, so I know a lot of people who worked at Disney during college, but I'm sure people around the country have wondered how you made that move. What different jobs did you have at Disney, and how tough was it to leave a great job at Disney to follow your passion?
Yeah, I'll answer the last part first. It was extremely tough, just from the standpoint of, I had built a career there. It had really become home for me. I loved, you know, working for Disney. I did not leave Disney out of any sense of, I have to leave Disney. It was to just chase another passion. And I had finally got to a point where, all right, let's do this. It was kind of a now or never moment there. But yeah, with Disney, I started with them as an intern in college as part of their college program. I had what is probably still one of the coolest jobs I'll ever have, maybe rivals that of, you know, an NBA writer, but it was, I was a train conductor on the Walt Disney World Railroad at Magic Kingdom. So conductors are the ones on the back. I didn't drive the train. Those are the engineers, but I was the one, you know, helping people get on and off the train and doing the spiels and all those sorts of things. And I loved it. It was a great job as an intern. Went back home, finished school, but I stayed on seasonal with Disney. I would come back down here during school breaks and pick up shifts and all those things. And I did a post-grad internship internship. That's actually as on that postgrad internship is where I met my wife. So we're a Disney couple through and through. And we'll be in October. We'll have been married for 15 years, which is pretty cool.
Wow. Congrats.
Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah. Congrats to me, you know, her. I'm still trying to figure out why she did this. But yeah. And then after, you know, once I got settled in, the vast majority of the rest of my career was in backstage administrative type roles. I worked as part of the casting team, doing some of the hiring of the cast members who work here. When I say that too, for the folks who don't know the Disney lingo, everybody's a cast member. You know, and think of everything in theater type terms or, you know, movie type terms. So employees are cast members. So, and it wasn't necessarily casting shows and parades and the like, although I did do a little bit of that. And then I moved into roles where I supported the training and scheduling of the cast at various places. And the company moved my wife and I to Disneyland. We lived in California for a year and a half. And it was at that time when we were out there that I was really, I didn't know a lot of people. I'm a kid who grew up in Massachusetts. So I was still, you know, heavily invested in the Boston Celtics. And here I was in the middle of Lakerland, which was pretty tough. And really the NBA kind of became my full-on connection point to home in a lot of ways, which was the first time that it happened when I first moved to Florida from Massachusetts after college. So it's always kind of been there for me. And then when we moved back, I had a lot of ideas and was throwing long message board posts on the Real GM forums and the like. And at some point I had gotten in good with a couple people and they, you know, the opportunity came up to write. And at first I was like, I haven't really written since college, but they were like, we'll get you there. Don't worry about it. You know, just you do your thing and then we'll polish and we'll work on it. And from there that grew from, you know, Real GM into the opportunity with Celtics blog. And then it just kept going from there. And it really turned into, for the last, I would say 3 to 4 years, it was almost a second full-time job for me, where I was spending a lot of time doing that along with my Disney job. I would, you know, cover games until 1:30 at night and then go to bed and get up around 5:30 the next day to go to work at Disney and do that. And then sometimes I would shoot out early to get down to the Amway Center. I was using all my vacation time from Disney to do things like go to Summer League and to both the old Orlando Summer League, which I know you miss just as much as I do. You know, and then Las Vegas and all those things. And I was taking time off around the trade deadline and the draft and the start of free agency. And we weren't really doing things like family vacations and the like, because I was trying to cram it all in there. So it was starting to get a little bit tough with that. And the opportunity came up where I'd put together enough freelance and part-time work to say, let's do this. And because my wife is a champ and amazing, she said, let's make it happen. And 3 weeks before the pandemic shut everything down was when I made that jump to be full-time doing the NBA thing. And, you know, since then there's been furloughs and layoffs, but we're making it work. We're going to get through. You know, I've adopted the minor setback for a major comeback mindset on that. But yeah, that's how I got to this point so far.
And I mean, you've been crushing it during the pandemic, though. And to say, I mean, I do want to say this, you know, obviously you and I have known each other for a while, just from being at Magic Games and working both as media members. And actually, we both got our start at Real GM. It's so funny, mm-hmm. You know, Chris Reyna and Andrew Perna gave me an opportunity to write for them when I was 15 years old. And they helped, you know, me get credentials to Magic Games. And my dad chaperoned me to games because I was so young. And, you know, I learned so much while I was working there. I was so young and I regret some of the articles and reports since I was a kid and making a lot of mistakes, but it was an amazing learning experience. So, you know, we both came up at Real GM and we've gotten to know each other, but you do phenomenal work. And it's just so frustrating that, you know, like you said, you take this leap of faith and, you know, try to take that next step in your media career. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's a pandemic. So it is so frustrating. But I am pulling for you. I mean, and it's awesome to see that you're getting the credit and recognition during this time for your Disney idea, for the great articles that you're writing for Yahoo and different places. So, what kind of response, what was your reaction to the response that you've been getting from this whole Disney article and idea?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, I laugh because that's tends to be my reaction to anything that's uncomfortable. I just I'm a pretty easygoing guy, and I tend to be pretty happy-go-lucky. So it's a lot of it's just kind of funny to me, especially when I have friends from home, like not my Disney friends, not my basketball friends, but home in Massachusetts friends who are like, I saw this on the news here, and those kind of things. It's just a lot of fun. I'm trying to have a lot of fun with it. It's been really it's been a blast. It's the weirdest Venn diagram of my life that'll probably never come together like this at any other point. But it's been really cool that the two things that outside of my family and friends that I am absolutely most passionate about in life are Disney and basketball, and for them to come together in this way has been really really fun. And it's been nice. And I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you to my editor over at Yahoo, Joe Garza, for saying, hey, yeah, let's publish it. Let's run with it. And Joe's a guy who lives part of the year here in Orlando and understands the area. So he was on board with it, which is cool. As a lot of times, unless you have that support from your editor, things don't go where you want them to go. And he was great about that. And the whole team at Yahoo has been awesome. Chris Haynes' support, all along has been, huge to me and my career, and, great guy. Wouldn't have any of this without him. So, a lot of those things are fun. And it's been really fun to see, some people come around, and say, different things of like, yeah, I didn't really know about you before, or, I had doubts and those kind of things. And it's, and I'm with you, man. I made some mistakes pretty early on. There was a point time where I was like, every tidbit of news I got, I was like, that's gonna go on Twitter. And it was like, that's not how you handle this. And and I blew some stuff pretty early, and it's I learned and figured it out and those things. And that's why I've tried to, it's funny, it's not necessarily what I want to do there, but in this case it is. Well, I don't know anybody else who's got the Disney sources. So I let everybody else handle the basketball stuff for the most part. I'm getting that, a little bit later than the rest. But the Disney pieces, I was like, I know exactly who to call. Let me pick up the phone and, make a phone call or send off a text and those kind of things. So that's been a lot of fun.
I'm really pulling for you. I would definitely encourage everyone to read the article that you wrote on Celtics blog about your transition. It showed a lot of it showed a lot about your story and things that people may not know. So I am pulling for you, and I'm hoping that when this is all over, you and every other journalist that's struggling right now, because there's definitely a lot of us, are able to have a lot of work and just keep thriving.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I love basketball, so I want it back just as a fan of the game who loves it. But selfishly, I want it back for me. I want to go back to working the way I was. And I know a lot of people who are in that same boat. I know a lot of us are feeling, quite frankly, a little bit lost. And it's just not the same for us. And this is the time of year where we're really gearing up, because it's the playoffs, right into the draft, right into free agency, right into summer league, and then it's August when we take a deep breath and shut down. And it's been hard on a lot of guys. I've talked to so many different people, and some are going through financial things and that. And so I'm with you. I hope everything gets back and we're all back to work and this goes off, huge and supportive, and there's this whole newfound love, and the NBA blows up in a much bigger way, because there's so many people that I'm major fans of that I want to see them get ahead in this. So I'm hoping everybody comes out of this thing, in a really good place.
Yeah, well said. Well, Keith, I appreciate you taking time to do this again. Things are so crazy right now. So thank you so much for making time. I really appreciate that.
For sure. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Y'all stay safe, you and yours.
For sure. You too. Everyone, make sure you follow Keith on Twitter at KeithSmithNBA. He's doing an incredible job. And if you guys want to hear more episodes of the Hoopsite podcast, check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere your favorite podcasts are found. And until next time, thanks for listening.